Revelation chapter 20, verse numbers 4 through 11. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for ever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse numbers 4 and 5. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. At the end of the verse number 5 is the sentence, "This is the first resurrection." It refers back to the verse number 4. What thrones we read about in the verse number 4? Who are they that sat upon them, upon the thrones? Is their judgment justifying, condemning others, or do they judge in the sense of discernment? I think most of thrones are seats, but not every seat is a throne. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 28, our Lord Jesus teaches his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." I would suggest you to listen to my expounding on that verse in the Gospel according to Matthew. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 22, verse numbers 28 through 30, our Lord adds to the same subject, "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." In the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse numbers 4 through 6, is also something very interesting. "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In the Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 21, our Lord says, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." These words include no idea of our own earthly throne. In the Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 4, we see round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. In the Revelation chapter number 11, verse numbers 16 and 17, we see them, these elders, quote, judging, close quote. The 24 elders fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 17, verse numbers 20 and 21, our Lord Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1, verse number 6, just before our Lord ascended, the disciples asked him about, quote, "kingdom to Israel," close quote. "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" In the verse numbers 7 and 8, he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." These words reveal the nature of the new Israel and of the reign of our King with his saints. Instead of desiring to alter the heavenly calendar, we pray for the laborers in our Lord's harvest. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 10, verse numbers 2 and 3, he says unto us, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." God's Lamb reigns. Even a giant that our God made the prophet Elijah to be manifested frustration and desire to leave the fierce battle. In the first book of Kings, chapter number 19, verse numbers 4 through 8, he went into the wilderness and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." As he laid and slept under the tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat, drink, and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He arose and did eat and drink. He went 40 days and nights unto God's Mount Horeb. God's Lamb reigns. Our King reigns in the entire universe. All the forces of evil crumble into dust and ashes at his appointed time. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns in his gospel proclamation, and ours, if his Spirit guides and corrects us. He reigns in suffering, his and ours. He reigns in the death of his martyrs and faithful disciples. He reigns in Gethsemane and on Golgotha. He never fails. Christ's Spirit and His Word of life and truth give us discernment to love and embrace our Father's good pleasure and to abhor His displeasure. In the Revelation chapter number 1, verse numbers 5 and 6, Jesus Christ, the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth, loves us and washes us from our sins in His own blood, and He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. In this Revelation chapter number 5, verse numbers 9 and 10, four beasts and 24 elders sing a new song, saying, Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, as He did reign in this world, while He ministered in the flesh. So we are appointed to walk in the light of His teaching and reign with Him in the midst of adversities by His power in our walk. In the Epistle to the Romans chapter number 8, verse numbers 16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The second epistle to Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 12 tell us, All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The apostles reigned with Christ. They reigned in fervent labor and patient suffering, and our Lord Jesus is glorified in them forever. As He, the Lord, prayed in Gethsemane, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Gospel according to Luke chapter number 22, verse number 42. They followed His example, and we are called to do the same. The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They were not the blind and fearful slaves of the beast, the worshippers of His image. Saints' 1,000 years reign was Christ's salvation in their daily walk. 10 times 10 times 10, victorious against all the fury and cruelty of the dragon. When our Savior carried them through their martyrdom, their souls lived on and on, reigning with their beloved Bridegroom. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 11, verse numbers 25 and 26, our Lord Jesus says unto Martha and to us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This is the first resurrection. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. The Revelation chapter number 11, verse numbers 2 and 3, The court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. These periods of time point to our Savior's gospel ministry. He continues His work through His disciples. His gospel calls to repentance, so its garment is sackcloth. Because it is the same gospel He preached and witnessed, the entire gospel time is symbolized by 42 months, or 1,260 days. The 1,000-year reign with Christ also points to the entire time of gospel ministry. The Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 5, in a few words, tells the gospel. She, the woman clothed in sunshine, she brought forth a man-child, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. The souls of men died in Adam, and in Christ they are raised into his new life. This is the first resurrection, trusting and obeying our Heavenly Father revealed to us in his beloved and only begotten Son. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. The impenitent, stubborn rebels reject our God's grace 10 times 10 times 10. All the time. Our Lord Jesus testifies in the Gospel according to John chapter number 3, verse number 18. He that believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Our Creator waits patiently until his appointed time, until the last one of his redeemed will cast himself at our Savior's feet to get delivered from sin slavery. We must remain prayerful and on guard, first and foremost, that his love for the Father's pleasure fill our heart always. Verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Rescued from the power of sin, we live in Christ, and so we reign with him. Prisoners in Christ have greater wealth and liberty in him, our Savior, than tyrants in fear of overthrow. Saved beggars become treasurers of his gifts. Joseph, a slave, becomes a governor of the empire. Daniel in captivity shakes the thrones and replaces emperors. Paul in shackles presents the gospel to the rulers. The evil spirits that firmly grip the hearts of mighty rulers by the apostles are cast out of their helpless victims. God's Lamb reigns forever, and his redeemed reign with him. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 20, "Rejoice, your names are written in heaven." Such blessedness! Blessed and holy are all who trust and obey God's Son and follow him unconditionally and permanently. Living in Christ in this world is our blessed ministry. Leaving our dead body is our transfer into his glory. Unity in Christ is life eternal. Our Lord teaches us our priestly service in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 44. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, and pray for our godly life and testimony. Chapter number 6, verse numbers 9 through 13. Chapter number 9, verse number 38, pray for Christ's laborers. Chapter number 17, verse number 21, for casting out devils. Chapter number 19, verse number 13, for Christ's blessing upon children. Chapter number 21, verse number 13, for godly order in our congregations. Chapter number 24, verse number 20, for timely deliverance of the redeemed. Chapter number 26, verse number 39, for our prayers to be in his spirit. Verse number 41, that we do not enter into temptation. Verse number 44, to endure following him to his goal. Verse number 54, that the scripture be fulfilled in all. This verse number 6, in the Revelation chapter 20, ends with the same words. Reign with him 1,000 years. All the genuine children of the covenant, the faithful disciples of the everlasting gospel of salvation in Christ, reign with him all the days or years of their battle and forever in glory. As our Master works wholly, solely, and forever his Father's good pleasure, so we can do only his Christ's will. That is the kind of reign we have with our Redeemer. Nothing of our private interest, carnal intention, vain ambition, nothing of satanic design, regardless of his craftiest disguise. The 1,000-year reign of Christ's Spirit in our heart, mind, soul, and daily walk should never expire. But it did expire many times in the history of faith and unfaithfulness. The reign of Solomon is a very stark example. Some believers in the Revelation chapter Numbers 2 and 3 did not keep their reign with Christ as constant and permanent as it should have been. In the chapter number 2, verse number 4, first love was forsaken. In the verse number 14, doctrine of Balaam and teaching of Nicolaitans crept in. In the verse number 20, the wicked Jezebel managed to introduce immorality and idolatry. Satan was loose among them. In the Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 1, some believers proudly display an empty name, but in reality they are spiritually dead. They have turned away from the reign with Christ, and they allowed Satan's reign under a disguise of false godliness. In the verse numbers 15 and 16, some leaders had lukewarm practice, but proudly professed, "We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." They let the devil loose against their souls. But our Lord's Spirit told them the facts. They are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Israel never recovered their blessings of Jehovah's reign. Their kingdom was destroyed like all devices and structures of satanic design. Satan is a complete loser, and all that follow him must share consequences of his iniquity. Verse number 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This catastrophe happened to every believer or group of believers that turned away from genuine unity in Christ's Spirit to nominal, empty religion. Some of the last speeches of Moses are in the book of Deuteronomy. The chapter number 32 tells how Israel ended their 1,000-year reign by letting Satan loose against them. In the verse number 43, we see that for some of them, the wicked enemy was loosed for a little season. The reign of Solomon is a very harsh example. Enjoying safety, prosperity, and multitude of our God's blessings, Solomon neglected faithfulness and violated our Lord's commandments. Solomon's disobedience to our God loosed Satan and endangered Solomon personally and also his entire kingdom. Judah shifted from godliness to idolatry and back on and on. Israel never recovered from gross idolatry in spite of the ministry of Elijah, Elisha, and Micaiah, our God's faithful prophets. In my short and limited monitoring of believers, I have seen groups of earnest disciples gradually drifting from the 1,000-year reign with Christ into worldliness and carnality of the worldly and nominal religions. When their enemy, the devil, turned loose against their spiritual welfare and unity in our Lord's Spirit, some among them were alarmed and repented. Their time of satanic oppression and onslaught was for a little season. Many impenitent perished in sin. Verse numbers 8 and 9. Satan shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. The four quarters represent the whole earth, the entire world. Satan is just doing what he always did. He turned murderous Cain against the righteous Abel, the perverted Sodomites against the angels visiting Lot, Gentile nations against Israel, corrupted kings against faithful prophets, godless Hebrews and Gentile rulers against early Christians, and a great part of today's world against the true faith in Christ. His, Satan's, deceptive friendship is even more dangerous. That is clearly manifested in the time before the great flood. Intermarriages did not bring the sons of men closer to God, but did intensify corruption of the nominal sons of God. The words, nations in the four quarters of the earth, give us the definition of Gog and Magog. But these two names are pointing back to the old scriptures for our understanding. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 10, verse number 1, are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Verse number 2, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter number 27, verse number 13, is this record. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 32, verse number 26, there is Meshech, Tubal, and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. Chapter number 38, verse numbers 1 through 3, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter number 39, verse numbers 2 through 6, I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Reading through all these chapters, we can see a pattern. Noah was the godly man elected to be the father of the new world. Japheth was a son in this godly family. Japheth's sons, Meshech and Tubal, became a mighty multitude of idolatrous people. Gog became their leader. To them, man's life is only merchandise. They are enemies of Israel and subject to our God's judgment. Fire from God devoured the slaves of our adversary many times after the heat of our testing and trials was ended. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. the second epistle of Peter, chapter number 2, verse numbers 9 and 10. The cities of the plain were destroyed with fire and brimstone in the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, verse number 24. Pharaoh's armies died in the Red Sea in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, verse number 28. Assyrian armies were destroyed without visible fire or water in the second book of Kings, chapter number 19, verse number 35, but it was a clear sign of our God's judgment. Peter's prison guards were killed by their own ruler in the book of Acts, chapter number 12, verse number 19. There were many judgment signs. The final fire of God will be the greatest and the most horrifying. The heavens and the earth which are now are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The second epistle of Peter, chapter number 3, verse number 7. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all godly conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verses 11 and 12. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to punish the unjust. All sinners are deceived to battle against our Lord, and so were we until He delivered us from the power of darkness. They all besieged the beloved city, and so did we, until we were captured by the Spirit of the Savior we battled against. The beloved city is the fellowship of faith in the Son of God, our Master and Lord. Although many children are scattered far and wide, not knowing one another face to face, all who honor God and work righteousness are dear to Him. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 10, verse number 35. Verse number 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. After our Lord's grace delivered all the souls He redeemed, after divine justice destroyed all the work of Satan and his slaves, Satan must suffer the consequences of his wicked rebellion. Our God's perfect justice and judgment will cast into the lake of fire and brimstone this destroyer for all the evil our Lord with His flock suffered to the end. My perception is that we will never fully realize what an awful horror is in the lake of fire. I remember our Lord's comfort and encouragement in the days of my hard testing and struggles. Now I know that our Savior bears the greater portion of our burden and allows us only as much suffering as we need to cleave to Him and avoid satanic treacherous deceits. By His comfort and loving care to the end of our journey, our Master is preparing us for His perfect loving presence in His glory kingdom. I observed the opposite heart and mind condition of our enemy's victims. When they are left to themselves, even without major visible troubles, they get so restless as if their soul sense the coming of our God's judgment. Some sinners are obsessed by their wickedness. They are constantly on guard for any opportunity of doing some evil to another person. That seems to be their main excitement. As soon as they are left alone and without the possibility of harming anyone, they are tormented in their own mind and heart. They suffer some preface of hell fire and brimstone. Although they deny their true condition and refuse to to face the facts. They cannot hide their entangled soul's anguish. Verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In the book of Genesis, first two chapters, we see him in the mighty work done by the word of the invisible Creator. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 1, we see him as the perfect and complete expression of the Father. In the first epistle of John, chapter number 1, we see him in apostolic testimony. Who among us has no memories of his presence and deeds that we cannot explain or tell anyone? For we have no words. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 35, the angel said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy child which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 3, verse numbers 21 and 22, when our Lord Jesus was baptized, while he was praying, the heaven was opened. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter numbers 26 and 27, Gospel according to Mark, chapter numbers 14 and 15, Gospel according to Luke, chapter numbers 22 and 23, and the Gospel according to John, chapter numbers 18 and 19, the Lamb of God, our eternal ransom, is revealed to us. In the following chapters of all four Gospel books, and in the opening chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, our risen Lord ushers the massive gospel proclamation to the entire world. Here, in the Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11, we see the fulfillment of his words in the Gospel according to John chapter number 5, verse number 22. The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. And in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In many parts of this book, the words and phrases are used in a way that helps us search our heart and pray to get better prepared, not only for some great changes in the more distant future, but also for a stronger, purer, and more fervent unity in our Lord's Spirit. The more we see our Heavenly Father's majesty in our Savior's humble service on earth, the closer we get to the full application of the Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse numbers 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword separate us? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the light of his face, all dark shadows flee away. That is faith.